This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Oh my God! Look at that! Iconic music. Iconic big voice guy. Iconic Suckage host. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum. Here with you on Saturday Suckage. I suck so you don't have to. That music. CBS, right? March Madness music. Are we allowed to say that? What are we allowed to say these days, Rami?
Onions! You're... baby onions!
Yeah, there you go. Let me let you in on this secret. Let me tell you this. As the tournament action heats up, college hoops coverage on The Score is brought to you by Bet365. We are going to talk tournament. We're going to talk Illinois advancing, and we're going to talk chalky chalk chalk chalk. To explain to Karen A., a texter who asked, what does the chalk mean? Chalk means you go with the favorites. That's what chalk means. The favorites win, it's a chalk tournament, or your brackets reflect chalk. And this has been a tournament of a lot of chalk. We welcome back to the show one of my favorites, now joining me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Ryan Horvath, CircaLasVegas.com. And he comes to us from BetMGM Network, BetMGM Tonight. And Ryan, thank you for joining us on what is, I don't know, sort of a Super Bowl weekend, I guess, for people in the wagertainment business. Yes?
Yeah, it's one of the best times, Steve. You know, growing up, man, I always loved March Madness. I would always fill out my brackets. You know what's funny? I'll never forget. I actually won. I grew up in Joliet, Illinois, so I won the Herald News pool one time.
Oh. Yeah.
And my grandfather, he cut it out in the newspaper, and he showed it to all of his friends. We would go to, like, you know, fish fries and, like, dinner, and he would show it to everybody. Didn't matter if I scored 30 points, two touchdowns in a game. He was more impressed and more proud of me winning that pool than anything else I ever accomplished in my life. And that's when I knew this had to be my job. I have to pick winners because I think it's my only talent, Steve.
Well, you know, it only takes one. That's all you need. You got it. So if you were to look at Illinois and Kentucky, a 6-seed Illinois against 3-seed, that's tomorrow. We'll bounce around here. But locally, that's what's of interest. Who do you like, if anybody, and why?
Yeah, and it stinks because out in Illinois, you guys can't actually bet this game. And I always forget about this in Washington, D.C. We can't bet D.C. teams, so I can't bet Georgetown. I can't bet American. And I actually live in Maryland, so whenever I cross the border and get into work, I'm like, oh, can't even bet this game. Probably should have fired away. But if you could find a sports book that'll let you bet Illinois, I really like this team. Now, here's the problem, though, Steve. Like, Illinois' point differential this season is either minus 15. So if they beat you, they're going to beat you by 15 plus points. But when they lose, they get blown out. They lose by 15 points. I've never seen anything like it in college basketball history. I do like Brad Underwood. I think he's a good coach. And I think they're the ultimate boom or bust team. Them and Maryland, both in the Big Ten. I can see them both making runs to the Final Four, maybe even the national title game. And I could see both of those teams losing in their next matchups, even though they won in blowout fashion. And that's where I'm at with Illinois. You know, I had big expectations coming into the season. I thought legitimately they could compete for the Big Ten because they have all the talent in the world. They have NBA players. But there's just been something missing with this team. But also, you know, they've had a bunch of issues. They had COVID run through the program, the flu, strep throat, mono. Like, every single time I would watch this squad, and that's what you never get, the information. It's not like the NFL or the NBA. You always find out these guys are sick like 5 minutes before tip-off. So now that they're fully right and healthy, I like them to beat Kentucky. I would probably pick Kentucky in that game if they were fully healthy. This is a different Kentucky team. This isn't John Calipari going out and just recruiting one-and-done NBA players. Kentucky now builds a program with Mark Pope. He likes, you know, experienced players, and those are the teams that I'm looking to back in March. I don't really like the one-and-dones. Everybody's picking Duke, and I understand why. Cooper Flagg's awesome, but their top three leading scorers are all freshmen, whereas a team like Auburn, their top three leading scorers are all seniors. So I'm looking for experience, and that's what I like about this Illinois team. I do like them to beat Kentucky. Again, Kentucky's all beat up. They don't have a starting point guard right now. So I actually like the Illini to advance. Hopefully I'm not wrong there.
Mike, yeah, don't be wrong. You're not allowed to be wrong. They pay you to be right. That's what you need to know, first of all, and Grandpa is demanding it. We're talking with Ryan Horvath of BetMGM Network, BetMGM Tonight. And looking at the tournament, we have a field of 62. There was the Big Ten went 8-0. The SEC sends eight teams to the field of 32 as well, 8 out of 14. I'm not going to relitigate whether they should have had all those teams or not. But suddenly that's half of the field of 32. And I wondered about a tournament. As the tournament progresses and you look at your wagers, does the strength of a conference, the success of a conference, influence your betting, your investments, the way you the prism through which you look at a game?
I think that's a great question. Nobody's really talked about that. For me, it does. I like teams that are battle-tested, right? And that's what concerns me a little bit about Duke. The ACC was really down this year. We saw Carolina sneak into the tournament yesterday. They get blown out by Ole Miss. Clemson's a good basketball team, but they get beat by McNeese State. Mm-hmm. And then Louisville was the only other team in the ACC, you know, that you could really trust. So I'm worried about Duke because they're not battle-tested. You know, those non-conference games were 3 months ago. You know, this is a different team now. Whereas with the SEC, every game is a fight, man. All those teams are really good. I mean, we watched Missouri yesterday. Like you said, we got all those teams into the big dance. What's funny is usually everybody fades the Big Ten once we get into March Madness, and yesterday they go undefeated. So I like these teams because they are battle-tested. Like, even a team like Michigan, nobody wants to buy in on Michigan. I don't understand why. I know they don't beat teams up by, you know, multiple possessions, but they have 2 7-footers. They have a really good coach in Dusty May. So that does matter to me. You know, like, every single game is a fight. It's a war. So I like the Big Ten. I like the SEC. And that's why I'm a little bit worried about Duke, just because they haven't played anybody this year, man, for a long time.
My guest is Ryan Horvath of BetMGM Network, BetMGM Tonight. We're talking tournament here on The Score. What, if anything, do you do with a stat after 2 days about chalky, chalk, chalk, chalk? Average margin of victory in the first round, round of 64, 16.7. The highest ever in that round, and there were 10 wins of 25 points or more. Does that mean anything to you, or are you still looking game by game, and that just happens to be a weird stat?
No, it actually does mean something, because now everybody's going to think chalk, they're going to think the favorites, and now I think we'll get some inflated spreads, and I'll look at some underdogs. Now, what you want to try to avoid is picking the popular dog. Like, everybody liked McNeese State, and everybody's talking about their manager as I watch on TV right now. He's sitting next to Spike Lee. But, Steve, they're down 20 points. I don't care about this kid, right? Like, they're down 20 points. I don't care about the manager, man. So, that was where I kept going back and forth on my bracket, because I think it's going to be chalk this year. Like, I can't – when I get to the Final Four, I have all one seeds, because the good teams are so good this year. You know, and everybody falls in love with these mid-major teams. And sure, we see some upsets. But the problem is, if you're not shooting 60% from three, and you're one of these small schools, and you're playing a D1 school, especially in the world of NIL, where you're recruiting pros and you're paying them a lot of money, I don't fall in love with these underdogs, man. So I have went chalk the first two rounds, but that is going to change a little bit. I think the team everybody's sleeping on is Gonzaga. I know it's not your typical Mark Few Gonzaga team. There's no Chet Holmgren or Drew Timmy, but this team is so weird because they're an 8 seed, but KenPom, who everybody's in love with, all the metrics, has them as number 9 in the country. So they're a top 10 team in pretty much every metric except for the AP poll and in this tournament. So I think they're live, man. I think they can make a run all the way to the Final Four. So I think the chalk does matter, but I don't expect that to continue. Although I said that last year, man, and UConn just ran through everybody, and they covered every single spread. So maybe that's just the world of college basketball right now, but I kind of expected this the first couple of rounds. We fall in love with these mid-major teams. It's just a different league, man, when you're going against these pros, these other kids.
Well, if you have chalk going and you like Gonzaga, something's got to give because Gonzaga's playing Houston and they're a 1 seed.
Yep.
Ryan, make up my mind.
Yeah, I think we go Gonzaga, Steve. I think that's our upset right there. Now, that said, I've been waiting for this Houston team to win a national title for a long time. I really like Kelvin Sampson. I love how he busts his players' ass. You know, like you could tell, those guys defend all 40 minutes. You don't get that in college basketball anymore. You know, there's no nonsense going on in that program, ever. The only thing that worries me, you know, and this year they actually are a little bit better shooting the three, but it just worries me. They go on these 3-4 minute scoring droughts. In Gonzaga, so yesterday, they have this kid, Ryan Nebhard, who his brothers are in the NBA, and it feels like he's been there for like 15 years, but he's their starting point guard. I think he's the best point guard in the country. Yesterday, he was 0-for-1 from the floor, and he had 9 assists. He averages 10 assists. And that's the thing. They just get up and down the court. So I think that's our upset. I think Gonzaga beats Houston.
Okay. We're marking the tape, and we're going to hold that down. You know, too often on this station, the predictions from the week before don't get held up in the bright lights of the following week and in the wake of actually playing the games. So we're going to keep that in mind. We're going to are there any other plays, and it doesn't necessarily have to be today, any other plays today? It doesn't have to be a game, a team. It could be because you can bet so much with players, with one half, with a second half, whatever you're going to do. Are there particular plays you have your eyes on today?
Yeah, so I really like Gonzaga, like I said. You know, and they're catching 4.5, 5.5, depending on the numbers. Also coming up today, I like Arkansas +6.5 against St. John's, and I like Michigan +3.5 against Texas A&M. So I do like some dogs today. Like I said, I do like this Michigan team. Dusty May, their coach, was at Florida Atlantic. He made a run in the dance. Everybody fell in love with him. Now nobody likes Michigan because they just don't beat teams up. They've won 12 games this season by 4 points or less. And that's kind of what I like about them, man. It's a 3.5-point spread. You know it's going to be a tight game, and they know how to win these close games. They have a 7-footer in Golden, who Dusty May brought over from Florida Atlantic. And then they have this kid, Wolf, who is a 7-footer. He reminds me of Tony Kukoc. He's a point forward. The way that he handles the ball, I really like him, man. He's a throwback. So I kind of like the underdogs today, even though it was chalk the first couple days. And then if you're looking for a future, again, I like Auburn. Right now they're still +500. I think that's pretty good value. It's funny because 2 months ago, everybody that we had on the show, everybody from Field of 68, Jeff Goodman, all these college basketball writers, everybody loved Auburn because they had more quad one wins, which everybody falls in love with, meaning they beat really good teams, top 25 teams in the country. Then they lost 3 of their last 4 in a really tough conference, and now nobody wants to buy in. I like them because kind of like when I picked Virginia a couple years ago, Tony Bennett and those guys, they lost in the first round. They were the first 1 seed to lose to a 16, mm-hmm. and then they came back motivated. Auburn lost to Yale last season. And now, like I said, Broome, if he's not the player of the year, he finishes number 2 next to Cooper Flagg. And their top 3 leading scorers are all seniors. So I still like that future at 5-1. But today, I like Gonzaga, and I like Arkansas. Even though it's kind of tough to trust John Calipari, I just think that's too many points. People love this St. John's team. I just worry about scoring, man. They defend for 40 minutes, but they do go on these like 3-4 minute scoring droughts. So I think Arkansas keeps that game close, maybe even wins it outright.
Does the coaching matchup matter? It's the sexiest matchup. Yeah. It's Calipari and Pitino, and none of them are playing. They're standing well beyond the 3-point line, well beyond the out of bounds line, although sometimes they cross that. So does a coach can matter, but when you look at a coaching matchup, when so much will be focused on that, you try to keep your analysis moments ago on the players, on the team, on the style. Do you make it a point not to get caught up in that, or do you have to get, because Tom Izzo's coaching in this tournament too, and he's winning games that he needs to win, at least so far, when he won a game.
Yeah, he is. And Steve, that's when you know you're getting old. I watch Michigan State and I watch Oklahoma, and I went to high school. One of my buddies, Jeremy Fears, both of his sons are the starting point guards on Oklahoma and Michigan State. And I'm like, man, I am turning 40. I'm getting old. But I like this Michigan State team, and I think that is really important. In college hoops, in college football, that matters to me. Coaching, right? Like, we always hear you can't trust Matt Painter, which I think is crazy. And Purdue went to the national title game last year. I think he's a really good coach. But I get why people don't trust him when it comes to March, right? And that's what people are going to say about Bruce Pearl. So for me, coaching does matter, and that's why I like the St. John's team, because of Rick Pitino. Especially, it's funny because he's on Twitter, and at first I thought it was like a fake account because he kind of like gives his game breakdowns, calls kids out. I couldn't imagine being at a practice after being a no-show, or you know, only winning the game by 2 points or losing the game with Rick Pitino as my head coach. You know what I like about this St. John's team, really quick? So 2 weeks ago, they played Marquette, and the game meant everything for Marquette. It was senior day. They have a bunch of seniors. It was at Marquette in the Pfizer Forum in Milwaukee. St. John's already had the Big East wrapped up, and Pitino motivated his guys to go out there and win that game, even though it meant nothing for St. John's. They already had the Big East wrapped up. They had some injuries. I thought they were going to rest everybody. No. So coaching does matter. You know, and Calipari, I love him. Great recruiter. I just don't trust the X's and O's. I mean, you could go back even to the Memphis team, right? He always just recruits the best athletes, all pros. And at the end of games, when it comes to the X's and O's, I don't trust them. So if we get in a close game, I like St. John's to win. I just think 6.5 is just too many points. So coaching does matter to me, man.
So what is the game tomorrow? And you may have already talked about it, but what is the game tomorrow that you see as being the best investment?
So I'm going to take UConn at 9.5, now that it went to 9.5 Florida. I don't think UConn wins the game, although it wouldn't shock me, because going back to coaching, is there a better coach than Danny Hurley? And I know he's full of himself. He knows he's the best coach. He tells that to the officials. But I love that, man. I really do. So I think that's too many points. And what scares me about Florida, I wanted to pick them in my brackets, but everybody likes Florida. They're the number one KenPom team. Everybody's fallen in love with them. They just won the SEC championship last week. But I think 9.5 is too many points for UConn. They're back-to-back champs. They don't have the same talent that they did the last couple of years. But I think Hurley is going to motivate his team. He's going to have them all pumped up. And you know he's bringing up the point spread. That's what's funny, man, is like we see this like more and more. You know, if a team's an underdog, the coach kind of sells that. So I like UConn, actually, to cover against Florida. I like Florida to win the game, but I don't think they do it by 10 points.
I would be intimidated just knowing Florida has a guy who does not need to get on a ladder to cut down the nets. I think that's a scary damn thing if I'm UConn. But like you said, Dan Hurley finds a way around things, and he has for the last couple of years. Being full of himself can be a huge help with an underdog. He had the best talent before. We saw what he could do with that. When's the last time? I mean, did he make a run before he became Dan Hurley, capital letters? Did he make a run with an underdog team?
Not really. And it's funny, like, if you go back and you watch his story, I watched this. They have a documentary right now, and it's about his dad because he runs the successful high school program. We obviously know all about Bobby Hurley. So he kind of had to, like, make his way up, right? Like, coaching smaller programs, and all of a sudden just figured it out, man. And I think, like, a lot of it has to do, though, with ego, right? Especially in coaching, college hoops. You got to go out. You got to recruit these kids. That's why, Steve, I think more and more, man, we're going to see a lot of these guys leave the game early, right? We saw Tony Bennett leave. We saw Jay Wright leave. And it's like, man, why are they leaving? They still probably have like 10, 15 good years. I just think that it's changed. You got to go in. You got to recruit these kids. You got to pay them a ton of money, $3, $4 million. I think it's just getting harder and harder to coach college hoops. So that's why you really have to appreciate when you're watching a guy like Rick Pitino. Like Danny Hurley, because it's not just coaching anymore and the X's and O's and drawing plays up. Now it's all NIL, transfer portal. So I think it's getting tougher and tougher. But, yeah, what Hurley's doing is remarkable. I get that he's kind of like the villain of college basketball, but I always liked the villains. Like, growing up, I cheered for Duke when Christian Laettner was stepping on people's chests and stuff like that. I like competitors, man. So I like Danny Hurley, and I think 10 points is too much. But, yeah, it's pretty crazy what he's been able to do here these last couple of years, because 4 years ago, nobody was talking about him. And I think people actually wanted them out at UConn 4 years ago, too.
Yeah, well, be careful what you ask for, because you might not get it, and you might be happy you didn't get it. And Bobby Hurley, of course, as part of the family, I thought had one of the great, in all the sneaker wars, in all the commercials, I thought he had the greatest line. I mean, it's not his, but he uttered it when he's sitting there staring at the camera balefully saying, "I'm not here to fill anybody's shoes. I brought my own." One of the greatest sneaker commercials ever, which was probably the extent of his post-college career. But, you know, he had that. It's more than I got. That's what I got to say.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And he had that bad car accident. I really wanted Bobby Hurley to be good. It didn't work out for him. But, man, like him at Duke, he was so tough. And I love watching back on those documentaries or the stories about that team, because he went in there, and Leitner, we all know Christian Leitner obviously was full of himself, and he was the pretty boy, and Hurley took no crap from him. Like, he told him, like, "I'm the leader of this team, this and that." And that's what I always liked about him, man. I like these New York City, like these New York point guards, though. And so that's what I like about, you know, Hurley and that entire family. You got to have a certain toughness. And those are the teams that I trust, though, especially come March, man. Like, if you're soft in March, we see that. That's what worries me about Calipari teams. I mean, he had that Kentucky team a couple of years ago. They were undefeated, and they get beat by Wisconsin in the Final Four by Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker. So that's the only thing that concerns me. You have to have a certain level of toughness. And the Hurley brothers, they obviously have that. And I think that comes from their dad.
They all have to sound like Ratso Rizzo in Midnight Cowboy. "I'm walking here." Yeah, they all got to sound like that. Ryan, thanks for your time. I always love talking with you. I appreciate you taking time out from this massive working weekend. Thank you.
Steve, thanks so much, man. I'm excited for the White Sox to get going. I don't think they win 60 games, but it's going to be entertaining. And hopefully the Cubs get on the board here soon, right? Craig Counsell's making enough money.
Okay. You're excited for the White Sox. I think BetMGM Network has now instituted a drug testing policy, and you'll be called into the principal's office in a hurry. Thanks. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Steve. Take care, buddy.
Take care. Ryan Orvat, Joliet's own, living out east. I love talking with him. It's great. So last week we talked with Brad Evans, Noisy Huevos, and this week Ryan Horvat. We'll see what happens next week. If nobody important listens, I'll be on the air.
I'm happy you called him out on the White Sox thing, though. I don't know who is excited for the White Sox season.
You know what? White Sox food season is here. And so is the I'm Fat podcast, only it's not here, but there's a great story that goes with this. We're talking menus people. We're talking sports food people the way it ought to be. And this had a twist I did not, and even special, how do we call this? A coda. And if you can have an amuse-bouche afterwards, a food coda, I can't wait to walk you through all of this. This is Saturday Suckage. The next thing won't suck, so I'm apologizing in advance. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I'm going to the movies, I take up seven rows because I'm fat, fat, fat.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
I tried to guess the Weird Al, right? Robbie tells me we're coming back, Weird Al. And I'm thinking, oh, Led Zeppelin. Want a whole lot of lunch. Want a whole lot. Or simple. Just eat it. Just, no.
He has a song he likes. A type of music.
Yeah, he does. Welcome in, welcome back. So this week, the Sox unveiled their food selections. Far better than their management roster selections. As always, Campfire Milkshake, that was the best thing about last season, and it's not going anywhere. But White Sox Concessions, Levy Restaurants, has a new milkshake, the Celebration Cake Shake. Birthday cake, ice cream, confetti cake, a maraschino cherry, topped with a pinwheel cookie designed to look like the pinwheels on Wright Field. and other food options. Always, you know, I remember like 30 years ago, they were replaced with a taco cart. They had a taco stand on the left field line. I love tacos. I'll get to that in a moment. The food has always been so much better on the South Side. And it used to be that the baseball was too. That's not the case anymore. There were other, what the Brooks Boyer, the CMO, I guess Chief Meal Officer, is that what that stands for on the South Side? There were different iterations of Korean dogs, even though the dog is Vienna, where my buddy Pastrami, Bobby Pastrami, started the Hot Dog Hall of Fame. There will be Korean dogs, a popular street food, as you can guess, and several bubble waffles and chili crunch noodles. I'm unclear on the concept of a bubble waffle. I assume it looks like a pillow, and I assume it's made out of pancake waffle batter and fried, and anything that's fried is better. It becomes 10 times better.
It's like a waffle full of hot air.
It's
kind of like the White Sox, full of hot air.
We have some of the, yeah, right, about competing. There is one named Diablo with various toppings, but Diablo is a mozzarella stick topped with flaming hot Cheetos, and they really are hot, and no thank you. There's also a sweet hot dog. It includes marshmallows, fruity pebbles, and sweet condensed milk. I don't know. I don't like that. But
smoke,
I wanted
weed every day.
Yeah. But I wanted to know how food experts, code for fat people, would take that. What would they would think of the food offerings? So I emailed Robbie and I said, get Rick Camp or Jay Zawoski, my guys from the I'm Fat podcast, and I want to run down the food choices for them at U.S. rate food field, and I wanted them to rate the food. See what I did there? Rate the food.
Oh, yeah.
And Robbie says, sorry, we can't do it. And why is that? Well, he's saying that because Rick's getting married and Jay apparently is waddling down the aisle as part of the groomsmen. And I thought, well, that's not right. Now, if you invite a chef on and say, well, I'd have to taste it or whatever. But these guys, the I'm Fat podcast, my guy. By the way, Rick Camp, former producer of Saturday Suckage, he was there with me and Grody, the glory years. And Jay Zawoski was always a bud, hockey bud, and always around. And the I'm Fat podcast is ingenious. It's wonderful. It's a great idea. Every guy's got to eat. Girls got to eat. So I texted Rick and I said, you're going to have to do this for me. I said, I hear you can't come on because you're committing matrimony. I am happy. Mazel tov. I'm happy you found someone to love. I'm happy you found someone to love you. But I said, it seems only fair for all that we've had discussions on the air with the I'm Fat podcast. If a member of the I'm Fat podcast is getting married, I need to know the menu. We need to know the menu. That sounds fair, right? I said, I do. See what I did there? Yeah. And so did Rick. So Rick DM'd me. The menu is filet, chicken limon, some veggie bleep for others. Rick is not big on veggies. I forgot all the finger food for cocktail hour, and the cake is a lemon cake with raspberry mascarpone. Now, I am shocked. Knowing Rick, being a fan of the I'm Fat podcast, and no pizza, no cheeseburgers, no onion rings. I mean, this is a group. These are two people who invite in, eventually in March Fatness, they induct someone to the Onion Ring Hall of Fame. And I asked him that. He said, I have to class it up some. The better half is a wedding planner. So the baseline is higher than I can comprehend. LOL. Okay. That's his excuse. Now, I know this sports menus in some places, like winners get to choose. The Masters, most notably. the Masters, the winner's dinner, the member's dinner, you become a member when you win, and then you green jacket, the whole green jacket dinner. Rick apparently is not on a par with them because he wasn't allowed to dictate anything. The one thing he did dictate was he's told me originally, no salad, we're doing a pasta, family-style pasta thing. Rick rages, goes postal about salads. Rick Kemp does. Okay, that's fine. But the Masters dinner, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see Scotty Scheffler's menu,
Robbie? I did.
What caught your eye?
Well, I like the shrimp. The shrimp thing is what caught my eye. I like the cheeseburger sliders as well. But it was kind of underwhelming in my mind.
No. And here's why. No matter what else is on that menu, one of your choices for an entree is cowboy ribeye. Do you know what that is, Robbie?
I do not.
Okay. Do you think of a tomahawk ribeye that's been circumcised? It's the same idea. It is
think about the circumcised too much.
Yeah. Well, it's a bone-in ribeye. The it's a little shorter. It fits much more cleanly into a cast iron skillet on a grill, and a tomahawk is exactly that, with a whole lot of the bone and a whole lot of meat. And cowboy, you're doing cowboy ribeye. I'm with you. Scotty Scheffler, you go, guy. So it occurred to me, and going back and forth with Rick, I had not seen any mention of March Fatness, their tournament. It's a legendary I'm Fat podcast tournament. They have four regions of fat guy issues. If you're unfamiliar with it, it would be everything would have a bracket. It would be a bracket style, and you would seed them. So it would be like pizza versus cheeseburgers, and maybe that's your final four. Or air conditioning versus elastic waistbands. I mean, these are important to fat people. And that's what Rick and Jay do in the I'm Fat podcast. And so where is it? Did I miss it? I can't. He says, March Fatness selection show is going to be next week. The wedding threw everything off. Okay, so next week, if nobody important is listening now, I should have an update on that. And I started thinking, if I were to supply a bracket, a region, I should say, for the bracket, and I would, my seeds would go in this order for starters. Big Ed's Burn Ends. That'd be a number one seed. That's a number one. By the way, Big Ed's, we were there a month ago. They opened in the new place. They're up in Waukegan. And in the new place, it's like a banquet hall. And it was so popular in the first week, they closed down early on Saturday and then closed completely on Sunday because they ran out of food. There were so many people coming in for Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan, they ran out of food. They've since reopened. They've learned their lesson. They make more food. But get there early. I'm telling you, get there early. You want Burn Ends, and you're not a legitimate barbecue place unless you make Burn Ends. Big Ed's. Go to Big Ed's. Go now. Listen to me while you're driving up there. Get them now. Then when they run out, they're out. And when they run out of food, they're really out of food, and sometimes they do it for a day. So they reopen, and they have more food now.
That comes from the number one Burn Ends influencer in the tri-state area.
I am, and I am the number one in the nation, and maybe the world, maybe the cosmos. But anyways, for now, Big Ed's Burn Ends would be number one. Tomahawk Ribeye, I described earlier, that would be a two seed for me. Vampiros, Elevators, Cacio e Pepe, and Beef and Giardiniera Pizza. That would be the start of my bracket. Do you know what a vampiro is? I just learned about vampiros.
I do not.
They're life-changing is what they are. I had them at Invicto in Vernon Hills. Think of a tostada. You ever had a tostada?
Oh, I love me a tostada.
Okay. Well, this is a tostada that knows somebody. This is a tostada, a North Shore tostada. I've never heard of this food product, and it was on a menu, so me and Otter tried it. The shell is freshly made, and it's fried on a flat top on top of cheese. That's for starters. Freshly made tortilla on cheese on the flat top. It's flipped over, so it gets a little crisper, and more cheese is piled on, and carne asada, guacamole, salsa, pickled onions, radishes, more cheese, more salsa. It's a revelation. You will see God. You will thank him for catering the rest of your life. I mean, I had them, and it wasn't till recently, and I don't know why you people kept the secret from me about Vampiros. I don't like you. They get their name, by the way, because when they first fry them on the flat top, cheese underneath, the ends curl up. They become red and then black. That's how you know it's ready to be flipped. Like bats. Like vampires. See what I did there? See what they did there? I didn't do this. They did it. I don't know any other place that makes Vampiros. Just Invicto's in Vernon Hills in the Melody Farm Center, 60 and 21. It's the only place I've seen it on a menu. I would like help here. Maybe there's another place. Maybe we could go on a Vampiro tour, me and my otter. Fellow Suckageers and fatties from the iFat podcast, I know you're out there. 312-644-6767. And now I'm hungry. But I want to know any other place that there might be Vampiros. And here's something else. Rick gets up this morning. He can't come on the show, but you know what he could do, Robbie? He texted me pictures of the menu cards that were at each table. And it was really hard to read. It's in script, and it's really nice, probably really great in person, but on text messages, no. And I saw the word salad. Rick, salad, what? You're enslaved already.
Get out. He's got to leave.
He said the best part, he texted back, the best part is neither of us touched the salad. We were making the rounds and barely got to eat anything. This is the food coda that brings us back to where we started with this. You know how you've been to weddings and there's a sort of a going away product, right? I've been to events, whether it's a wedding or bar mitzvah, whatever it is, anniversary celebration, right? Sometimes you go home with, used to be Krispy Kreme donuts, like a box of six, and maybe the Bulldog edition of the Tribune. I had one of those one time. So you get something like that as you leave, right? In Bridesmaids, you got a puppy, but not a puppy for the bad people. Rick and Sam, who, by the way, got married yesterday, so I'm getting this on Rick's first morning of marriage. He's texting me and DMing me. They gave out late night pizzas.
He redeemed himself there. Oh, after like eight beers of dancing, sweating, that pizza's bringing me back to life.
It was made by Fredo's in Schaumburg, and the Fredo's has their sandwich, the I'm Fat Podcast sandwich, burger, whatever it is their burger on their menu. And Fredo's made the boxes and filled them with the pizzas and then delivered them. And the boxes, the red and white, you see the red squares and red writing on a white box, Rick and Sam's Pizza Shop. And that's what you walked out with. I mean, this thing's suitable for framing. And that's the way it ended.
This Fredo did not break my heart.
No, I see what you did there. It's spelled different, but I see what you did there. Frato. I first heard about them from before the I'm Fat podcast from Joey Ice at my Trader Joe's. And what they do is they build, imagine a crazy Lego set of food. And that's what they do. And so the I'm Fat podcast, Rick and Jay, built this. And they built a burger. And it's sort of like a hamburger with pizza on it, if I recall this. And there's no bad words in that sentence, as they like to say, as is often said about food products. So congratulations, Rick and Sam and Jay. I know the three of you will be very happy in this marriage and this food. And the idea of giving out late night pizza, it's so I'm Fat. I can't wait to hear the next I'm Fat podcast. And we'll be looking forward to the March Fatness Brackets. Next, an American hero, a character of the highest order, passed away. I'm Steve Rosenblum. I'll tell you about it. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Classic sports talk. Classic breaking news. Breaking news on The Score. Brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. We move to our breaking news desk where Robbie Triano is manning the microphone.
Thanks, Steve. This is actually unfortunate news. 24-year-old right-handed pitcher Drew Thorpe will undergo Tommy John surgery. We all know Drew Thorpe. He was acquired last year in the Dylan Cease trade to the White Sox. Drew Thorpe, Tommy John surgery, out for the year.
He was the star of the trade, right? Wasn't he the... Okay. Yeah. Hey, how about that new milkshake? Garrett Crochet, by the way, is starting the opener for the Red Sox. The depraved Mike Clevenger is closing games for the White Sox. In case you wondered how much suck the White Sox could stuff into one season opener, there you go. And now Drew Thorpe is gone for the year and however else long that takes with Tommy John surgery. Now, it's true, at 24, he could come back and he throw harder than ever, be stronger than ever. White Sox need that. You trade Dylan Cease, you better get something that shows up in the major leagues at some point.
I don't think the White Sox in any of their trades have gotten an MLB-ready player yet, which is... It's a little weird. You trade away Dylan Cease. You trade away Garrett Crochet. You trade away Eric Fetty, Tommy Pham. You have not got an MLB-ready player yet.
You got pantsed in all that. Chris Getz did. He was just used as a third wheel, and he got pantsed when he needed to get whatever he got. But then again, have we seen a... Who are the four kids... Jed Hoyer got for Yu Darvish. Have any of those shown up in the majors? Am I missing something? Because that's when the Cubs ended the 2021 season at Christmas in 2020. That's when they gave up. They flew the white flag, not the white W flag. They just surrendered. They got rid of their Cy Young runner-up. Told you they weren't going to compete. They were going to find ways not to compete. And so far, they haven't competed. They've not been back to the playoffs. They've got... No, they haven't. So has anybody shown up? Am I missing somebody?
The players in that trade, Zach Davies, Reginald Preciado. He was a shortstop. Owen Casey. Owen Casey's probably one of the people know the best. He's still in AAA. And Ismael Mena. And Yelson Santana. The only one I know of that list is Owen Casey's, unless Zach Davies did something.
Okay. There you go. That's what happens when you trade that guy. Some people would look at it as the karmaverse. When you trade a Cy Young contender and you get back a handful of magic beans and none of them shows up to be anything. So anyways, Dylan Cease gets traded to San Diego, and the star of that trade is now going Drew Thorpe. Tommy John surgery. And the Cubs, by the way, are 0-2. They lost twice in Japan, in case you're just waking up. They lost to a Dodgers team that didn't have Mookie Betts or Freddie Freeman. They pitched badly. They fielded similarly. And they didn't hit with runners in scoring position. They were 2, 3, 4 hitters went 1 for 22. The hit, I think, belonged to Tuck Tuck. Kyle Tucker got that hit. But they bonded. You know, it was all about bonding. Bonding. It was really important that they bond. Bonding's really important on these trips because bonding has won so many World Series, so many more. Bonding is much more important than hitting with runners in scoring position. Bonding is so much more important than starting pitching and going 6 innings, scoreless base. Bonding, so much more important than a closer. The Cubs bonded. There are some people who should be bonded to the bench. We'll see what the Cubs do. And I don't understand. why Justin Steele, okay, he's going to pitch after being sick. We found out late. Okay, he's going to be sick. His whole household was sick. He lost weight. He didn't eat. And he's going to pitch. Meanwhile, Jameson Taillon, presumably healthy. I don't know. He pitches in a game that means nothing. He's not even available to go all Ben Brown in a game that means something. And now he's going to pitch the second game because Justin Steele is going to pitch the opener in Arizona after the Dodgers beat him up without Betts and Freeman. And okay, I'm sure Craig Counsell has a plan. I'm not sure it makes sense to me, but it doesn't have to. He just has to get it right. At $8 million a year, he needs to be right. He's getting paid to be right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, an old friend, I don't mean old, a longtime friend, I'll say longtime friend, is leaving the Sun-Times. There's a lot of that going around. All the cool kids are leaving. We're going to say goodbye to one of them. We're happy that Mark Potash will join us on the show, and we'll talk about stuff. It's what we do. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.